I have been preaching some sermons from the book of Luke, and I call them Lessons from Luke. And today I have a passage from the book from Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. And the thing is about growth, money, and possessions. Then we are going to be learning from Luke as well about the Lord's Supper and some themes. And today we have another passage from Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. The rich and the kingdom of God. The rich ruler. So if you have your Bible, turn to your Bibles in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. All this I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that as we read, as we continue in your house this evening, we pray that may your Holy Spirit come and minister us, and we pray that we will be able to learn something new, Lord. Father, we invite you to be with us. Father, may everything I am about to say will be according to your will, because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes I hear, or you read, or you see on TV about disasters in some places in the world. And in some places, I remember years ago in Burma, in China, they have these disasters, and they refuse, the government refuse help. They said, "You cannot come to help," when other nations wanted to help. In Latin America, more and more, we have the idea of that people, governments, when they won't want to receive help from other nations, because in a way, rich nations and rich people are considered evil. That is, in my opinion, is underneath. When I was in university, in the public university there, they have some people who will quote these verses, particular socialists. "Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." It amazed me. For them, the idea is that rich people, wealthy, you know, to be rich is bad. So the question for me when I was younger, it was, this is the question: is wealth an obstacle to eternal life? That was an honest question. And we know that when we read about the Bible, we need to be aware about the context of what we are reading. And the reading here, the context is Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And Jesus teaches that here, they say, "I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter it." That is the context. So we have Jesus has been teaching, and suddenly we have this rich young ruler. We don't know his age. The only thing we know is that he's rich and he's young, but we don't know his age. And he approached Jesus looking for answers related to eternal life, to the kingdom. He had realized that despite his wealth and status, there was something missing. He is good. He's a good person. However, he has this question and he has a bad attitude. He had a bad attitude. Because in his questions, we could see that he's more concerned with where he stands than in knowing God's grace. He is more concerned about things about himself. Am I good enough to qualify for eternal life? Maybe this is the same question many people ask to themselves. I am good enough. I am serving in the church. I am helping people. I am helping my family. Perhaps he wanted to earn Jesus' favor. He said he really was seeking to know more about the kingdom of God. And he says, good teacher, good rabbi. But Jesus rebuked him. Why do you call me a good teacher, a good person? Nobody is good by God. Nobody except God alone. The Bible says that no one is good. No one is good except God alone. Jesus' first answer for him is, okay, you are searching, keep the commandments. And that was his first answer to this man. And maybe this man in his mind immediately, some scholar says that he replies in terms of God's commandments, which can be found in Exodus chapter 20 verse 12, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16 to 20. And he said, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land of the Lord. Your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. I have done it, Lord. He's very proud and said, well, I done it. Since I was a boy, I am on business, Jesus. He's ticking all the boxes. The law is not a problem for this man. The test is not about his words or deed, but a questioning of his heart. What about us? I go to church every Sunday. I help people. That's good. But there is a problem when we do something to earn salvation, relying on the law alone to get eternal life, or to rely on what we do, because it clouds faith. The issue is that it clouds faith. Jesus wanted to touch this person's heart. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Wait a minute here. So every person who decides to follow Jesus have to do this? But the simple answer is not. In the past, many people have found this. They have sold everything, and fair enough, they want to do it. But that is not a requirement. This does not mean that all who want to follow Jesus are to leave their wealth. Jesus is dealing with a particular case. Shall we say that? Jesus is dealing with a particular case here. He's dealing with this man, and his man comes with his own agenda. He's dealing with this, with his issue. And now, this is not the case, because we will not attain salvation by emptying our bank accounts and giving our money to the poor. Somebody says that. That's not the issue. Jesus is dealing with this man's questions in this particular at this particular moment. Faith is required to attain eternal life. And that's what Jesus is trying to do with this man. So he will be able to understand. So first of all, the second thing we could see here is that we have some obstacles for eternal life. This man, maybe he wants to know the truth, but he found some obstacles here. You know, the first obstacle here is when we want to be good. That is the first obstacle we learn from the book of Luke. We could be good, but not safe. Salvation in Jesus' teachings implies the call to service versus power. And I like this expression. You know, one scholar says there is a tension between call to service and power. Because this man wanted power. He wanted to be seen as good. Power. Oh, such a good man. Such a generous man. Such a generous woman. Power. He wanted to be recognized. An obstacle for eternal life. There is a tension. We could go to churches and maybe we don't realize we have this tension between service versus power. And maybe we don't realize that. The second obstacle here is that salvation is not a simple emotional lift. Oh, this man realized that he did something, but he was simply looking for something that could fill his empty heart. He wants an emotional lift. He wants power. Maybe like many people who do charity or come to church every Sunday to prove to others and to themselves, they are doing something to that qualify them for entering into eternal life. And we don't realize it. I could be like that. That is the tension. He wanted something. Years ago, I used to work for a particular person, and they have a lot of money. The wife used to go to church every day, 6 a.m, to pray. And I knew that she was doing it. Fair? And one day, I remember trying to explain to her that, do you know Jesus? So I tried to explain just the gospel. She was very, I don't know, her reply was not quite friendly. And and then I realized that the driver, you know, because being rich, they have drivers and servants, people who worked for her family's company. You know what was her nickname? The devil. Such a contradiction. But you will see this woman doing charity. But that only gave her, in my opinion, an emotional lift. Power to feel that she was good. This man looks good externally. Perhaps he was a remarkable citizen. There are people, in one occasion somebody came to say, Freddy, there are so many good people that they don't need to come to church to be good. He said, you're right. But they can't be safe unless they come to Jesus. But they are still good. They are good. Sadly, we have the reputation sometimes that people come to church. And like this lady, people could call us the devil. He was not prepared to confess that love of money and wealth was the evil which had been hidden in his soul. He decided to keep his wealth and he rejected his Savior. Sometimes we could look okay outside, but inside there is something that is an obstacle. In this person, remember what we said, is a particular case. In this person is wealth, but it could be vanity, it could be pride, it could be our job, it could be our grandchildren, it could be our children, it could be something. Our husband or our wife, outside is okay, but Jesus wanted to deal with his heart. We could look upside okay, but he wants to deal with my heart. He wants to deal with your heart. Sadly, wealth was his devotion. His real God was comfort. On the contrary, Zacchaeus, you remember the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. We are not going to read, but you remember Zacchaeus? He had money, he has possession, but he has a different attitude, a different response. Some people call a paradigm of response to Jesus what Zacchaeus did. But this man sadly rejected his Savior. The last I wanted to share with you tonight is that every obstacle could be beat by faith. Shall we say it together? Every obstacle could be beat by faith. In this passage, there is a warning against affection to possessions. However, there are some examples in this gospel, in lessons from Luke, that tell us about the positive use of money and possessions. If you want, open your Bibles in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. And also, there is another example in Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. But I'm going to read just three verses from Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Some examples of how it's wrong when we says, that wealth is wrong or this is against the kingdom of God. Listen, Luke chapter 8 verses 1 to 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Johanna, the wife of Chuzpa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. This example suggests that the issue is what we do with our possession. And we have other examples, Lydia, and other examples in the Bible, how people were able to use. How can you imagine Paul traveling, they say, even to Spain? We don't know about that, but to many different places. Do you think that's just cheap? No, we need some money to do it. People using the wealth, having the right attitude towards their wealth. Again, this is an example that suggests that the issue is what we do with our possession and how we view our possession. Do we accumulate them to use generously, or maybe you have the affection to our possession, affections to things? Jesus is saying to this man, you are missing something. You are missing something, my friend. Perhaps it could be our time. We don't want to give up our time. I am asking you, consider how you can help this church with the young people. Are you willing to give up your time? Maybe it's your family. You don't want to share your family with the Lord because maybe you are busy in church and your family suffers. Your skills, you have skills. Maybe you don't have money, but you have skills. Are you willing to share your skills? Those willing to be saved and to enter his kingdom are asked to leave all for Jesus. Family, wealth, and possessions are to be left in the hands of God. Faith. We come and we struggle. That is what Jesus is doing here, challenging this man to have his hands empty to receive his mercy and his love and hope. For the disciples, it appears an impossible task to enter into the kingdom of God. This is impossible. Jesus' answer is that what is impossible for us as humans is possible to God. Eternal life is a gift from God which will not be available for those whose hands are filled with other things. When we come to God, we have to make ourselves available completely. This day, I don't know, but sometimes we just sing and sing. I love music. I love to sing and to lead worship. You know, when we have been singing today, since the morning, Holy Spirit, pray for me. Fill my life. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, you are in trouble. I'm in trouble. Because he will do whatever he wants to do with our lives. Our families will suffer. Our friends will suffer. But the glory belongs to God. Do you believe that? I know trying to make you feel afraid of what you have been singing today. But this is reality. Sometimes we don't want to let it go. And this man has his wealth and possessions. He doesn't want to let it go. Jesus is not saying that every single Christian has to leave everything. No. It's the attitude. It's our attitude. And he demands faith. Our hands should be empty to receive his mercy. This man's hands were full of his wealth. Jesus will not give it to those who are willing, who are not willing to turn from sin. This man has something hidden in his heart. Is his wealth. But Jesus will not give it to us if we have sin in our lives hidden. Possession, wealth, false religion, or selfishness. You know what is hidden in your heart. I know what is hidden in my heart. Jesus will not come and bless us if we don't let God and let God to lead our life. Rich people, wealthy people are not bad people. Faith cannot operate when God is not having the first place. Not only wealth could be an obstacle for eternal life, but also pride, selfishness, greed, our families, our job, anything that could come before God. Anything. And we need to be careful. When I was 8, 9, 10, I remember all these years, my father used to teach the children's group and the adolescents or teenagers, that we call it, different name. And he used to share a story. And my poor father, he will share this story again and again. And I remember sitting with my friends and being embarrassed and say, hey, there we go again. And I said, but it's a beautiful story. And then I remember years later, one of my friends, who now, you know, being older and professional, he said, I remember that story, my friend. So I'm going to tell you that story. I don't know if it's entirely right, but I know it's right, the quote I'm going to give at the end. But he used to start with a story like this. Because I remember my father, when he took this church years ago, I don't remember, I lost the plot. I think we arrived to that neighborhood when I was 8, so you work it out. And people have this idea, because it was a popular area, and they have this idea of, remember the idea I told you at the beginning? That wealthy people are evil, and this is what, you know, rich people is, you know, there is a contradiction in the gospel. And he used to say this. There was a man who, in America, he was born into a poor family. And the boy went to church. His family belongs to a Baptist church. And one day he said, God, I just ask you for wisdom that I could do something to support my family. I'm going to make you my partner. Whatever you do for me, I will bring the tithes to the church. And I will be there, not only my tithes, but my family. So the first week, he started making some kind of basic soap. This about the 50s or 40s, I don't remember. So I'm telling you, this is how he repeated the story. You don't need to write, you just keep in your head. And he said that the first week this boy, he started to make this soap, went to the local shops and sold everything, and his first wages was $1.50. So here this boy was happy in the church, maybe a Sunday, like this Sunday morning when people bring the offerings, he brought his first tithe from $1.50. And then the following weeks and months, he said, Lord, give me wisdom. He started to develop. It was a very nice package. And now he's selling, get more money. This man becomes a millionaire. And as far as I understand, that's the story of John D. Rockefeller. And this man... He got so much money that he reached a point where he said, God, you are so good. Until the day I die, I'm going to keep the 10%. I'm going to give the 90% to you because it's too much. And he was so, until the day he died, you know, he loved the Lord so much that I know, I don't know if that's the reason why I said to you, that in every capital of most of the Latin American cities, there is a Baptist church called Central Baptist Church. You know who gave the money for that? Him. You go in Quito, the capital of Ecuador, this is the Central Baptist Church. He gave the money. And then you go to Santiago in Chile. Education in universities in Africa, giving, he believed in education. And this is a quote from him. He said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1,000,000 I ever made if I have not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week. I believe it's every man's religious duty to get all he can honestly and to give all he can. Think of giving not as a duty, but as a privilege. This is a boy who have a different attitude to wealth and possessions. I have nothing to give. Some people say, I am poor. But maybe you have time. Maybe you have skills. But remember the tension. Be careful about service and power. We need to be careful about our attitude. The more important is to give our hearts to Him. Is wealth an obstacle to eternal life, for eternal life? Yes, if we have a wrong attitude. Yes, if wealth is our Lord and our God, like we said this morning, and we serve and worship our possessions, our wealth. No. If we have the right attitude, no. If wealth and possessions are used to serve our Lord and our God. Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. He can do it, my friends. He is here to bless us. But Jesus will not give salvation and eternal life to those who are not willing to turn from sin. Possessions, wealth, false religion, selfishness. Where do we stand this evening? Remember, maybe you feel, I am like this. I cannot change. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus wants to bless our lives, bless our family, bless our society, bless this country. If we allow Him to be our Lord, our God.